7 minutes past the hour, let's get to our guest. It's Matt Orton, Chief Market Strategist at Carolyn Tower Advisors. Matt, everybody seems to be bearish, and we've seen that borne out in surveys and the commentary and such. Yet we're not seeing capitulation in markets. That must tell us some kind of story. What is it?
Hey, Brian. Great to be back. I think what it says is that there's just a tremendous amount of uncertainty. We haven't been to this position before. We haven't been in a position where the Fed is hiking rates at such a rapid pace, coupled with an anomalous economic slowdown that may or may not be putting us into a recession, and at the same time seeing the economy generally hold up. So I think there's a lot of hesitancy on the part of investors to get in front of the Fed until there's a little bit more clarity on what's going to happen. So positioning's incredibly light. And I've been telling our clients it's frankly just washed out, seeing the levels of institutional cash just sitting on the sidelines. And to me, that's a signal that maybe if we can finally stop getting bad news or get a little bit more certainty in terms of what the terminal rate looks like, where rates are ultimately heading, that might help establish the floor for equity markets to start moving higher again.
Yeah, it's not just the rate decision that's going to be closely watched, be it 75, which seems likely, or 100, which is a possibility no one's really ruling out. But what about the dots? How closely are we all going to be watching those this time?
I think they're going to be watched very closely because the big question, like you said, Paul, is where are we going? Where is the terminal rate going to go? And what do we see happening in 2023? So the big news that really helped drive the markets lower after Jackson Hole was the fact that there really was no dovish pivot. And the markets had to readjust the pricing to that. And so will there possibly be a pivot coming? Probably not. But what does higher for longer really mean? And that's the clarity that we need.
I think that's the key point why I talked about capitulation. People don't seem to really want to throw in the towel because they feel like we're somewhere in the process of inflation peaking. But the Fed is not going to hand it to you. They're not going to say, okay, it's time for a pivot. We're going to pause, or we're going to do this, or we think enough has been done. It's just not going to happen. They need to crush inflation. So what are the signs that we look for? Because the data itself is choppy, some good, some bad.
And rightfully so, Brian. The Fed has to show that they are taking inflation very, very seriously. I think it's going to be easier to get inflation down to, say, maybe 5% or 4%, but it's moving it lower from there that I think is going to be really, really hard to do because there's so much stickiness in things like rent and housing, as well as labor. Those are things that we're not seeing move very significantly in the right direction, if in the right direction at all. But we're probably going to get to the point of seeing deflation with respect to some goods. We're already seeing energy start to come down. So there are positives, but the big challenge is going to be really moving it lower. But at the same time, we can't drive the economy off of a cliff. So what we need to see is data dependency from the Fed. And hopefully after we get what's likely going to be a 75 basis point hike tomorrow, that we're going to see them start to take their foot off the brake a little bit, or at least signal that given some of the data, because data is coming in a little bit softer.
And Matt, I just want to return to those comments that we heard from Noriel Rabini talking about a long, ugly contraction, maybe a global recession in 2023. Do you think he's overcooking it a bit, or is this a distinct possibility?
So, you know, Paul, I can certainly appreciate the risks that he's highlighting that are very, very real. But I can't get there. I can't get to seeing a calamitous situation. And I think too many people are using the analogs that we've had of the most recent recessions being the shutdown of COVID or the global financial crisis, where there were massive events that brought down the entire global system and infrastructure that led to 40%+ sell-offs in equity markets and crippled economies. In this situation, I really think that we're likely to see more of a rolling recession through the U.S., where different sectors and pockets of the economy are impacted at different times, because the data just doesn't point to a sharp slowdown that is starting to happen. You know, you heard today, it's a tale of two economies right now. If you listen to FedEx, Ford, GE, they might be more on the Rabini side, But if you listen to B of A, whose commercial client activity is good, says the consumer is in good shape. You know, Amex mm-hmm. continues to point to very, very strong consumers, and our favorite weatherman, Jamie Dimon, is, you know, highlighting that there's strong consumer spending too. So, you know, listening to some of the companies that are closest to the economy and real-time consumer data just doesn't point to a sort of calamitous situation that's on the horizon. So
we heard that from Ralph Lauren yesterday too, said that they're not seeing any signs. Now that's more at the luxury end, I guess. But when you have the stock and the bond markets both down 20 to 25% and property falling like it is now, prices maybe not quite so much yet, but then transactions have dropped. You wonder whether or not the reverse wealth effect will eventually hit for people that do have higher incomes and spend more.
It certainly might, but a lot of people with higher incomes, they're not taking out home equity loans. I don't think they're as exposed to not having the money to continue to spend. You might feel like you have less, and that might you might behaviorally spend a little bit less. And that's probably a good thing on the inflationary front, where we're seeing the switch from goods spending to services spending. I think we can lighten up even more on the goods spending to help bring down inflation. And if we moderate spending on services a little bit, the economy still remains in a healthy place, but you're helping to bring down some of those inflationary pressures too. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I would also point out that corporate margins are at the highest levels we've seen. The margins over the past 5 quarters are the highest over the past 10 years. And so even if we move a little bit lower on the margin front due to labor or a little bit of a slowdown on the consumer front, companies by and large are still in good shape. So when I talk
and
to people clients,
too, right? People's balance sheets are looking pretty good too.
That's a great point, Brian. The homeowners, the family balance sheet is in good shape, or we're not seeing tremendous evidence of people reaching for credit cards or taking on a ton of credit to finance their purchases. So to me, what that says is you take a defensive bias in the market right now. Lean into companies that are actually making money. Lean into dividend growth, companies with higher ROE, quality. That has been working. Healthcare is one of my favorite places to get exposure. And in those pockets of the market, you're outperforming the index and you can wait and be opportunistic, you know, if we do have an even further pullback to say the June lows or even lower, because mm-hmm. I don't see how we sustainably stay at those levels. And that could be a great buying opportunity to get more aggressive.
All right, Matt Orton, we'll leave it there. But thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Matt Orton is Chief Market Strategist at Carillon Tower Advisors.